Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Goes Without Saying, we are back for another episode of Goes Without Saying. What a blessing it is to be back. I'm so excited for this episode. I'm joined by the lovely Seffi in her prime.
Hey everyone.
And I am Wing, and today we are discussing all things burnout. Quite topical. We get quite personal.
Quite topical, quite relevant.
It's a very wholesome episode, I think. I think this is a really nice one if you are feeling lost, overwhelmed, don't know where to fucking turn in this godforsaken life. Seffi and Wing are here to help you. Can't say we're going to be very helpful, but we are here to try and help you. Stay tuned. Thank you for listening. Okay, we've got some explaining to do, I feel like. Nods. You can't just nod on a podcast.
I'm getting rusty at this. Okay, so we're so sorry, Mr. Week. I think this is our most attempted recording. Mm-hmm. I think it took us 5 attempts to get where we are today.
God.
We didn't even press record many of those times, but I think we sat down to record 5 times.
Too many times.
And I think I probably cried 4 out of 5 of those times.
Every time.
And said, I'm not doing this because I can't even sit upright.
What have you done to her, guys?
I just think it's perfect that we're talking about productivity because I think it's fair to say we are literally burnt out to some little cinders.
Right, burnt out. And not even burnt out with the like practical... Is it psychological burnout?
Yeah, entirely. Do you know what it is? Self-hatred.
I mean, to put it in layman's terms, I'd call it depression.
It's kind of, I would say, maybe like low self-esteem.
Which is great. So should we just fill everybody in from start to finish?
Let's fill. Okay, I don't even know what the start of it is. What's the start? Oh, I never had COVID as well. That was great.
Oh yeah, you didn't. That is great.
I think the last time we spoke, I was like heading into a lockdown, into an isolation. I keep calling it a lockdown. Everyone's like, it's not a lockdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I did the 10 days and I think it just was not, I honestly didn't mesh well with my energy. I'm not really vibing with this isolation vibe.
So one look at her and thought, I'm not getting involved in that. I've seen enough. I'll just let that play out as it would. Quite unfair to leave everyone hanging that we were like, Seffi's got COVID, like, assume the worst, like, won't be back next week. And then we actually legitimately weren't back. Okay, so you didn't have COVID. That was good. The isolation was hard.
Mm.
Shall we get into the self-hatred just a little bit?
Let's just dip our toes in the pool of self-hatred. I think it's just a hard time at the moment. Like, I've also just got like big fucking life shit going on, family, uh-huh. Like, I can't even talk about it, stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just think everything else is just amplified in terms of, I don't even know what in terms of. I'm coming to a boiling point of shit.
I think sometimes in life, just things get brought up.
Yeah.
And things come to the surface and they need to be dealt with.
Yeah.
And I think what we're finding as well is that that just happens in any old life. But in this bizarre, silly little life, Jane, that Seffi and Wing have constructed, where they turn up every week and kind of give a very, like, personal, anecdotal, intimate hour,
mm-hmm.
It comes up in a different way. Because, I mean, and it goes for both of us, we just can't come to a big... I don't know, like, it's just hard. It's what is this thing? And yeah, like, it doesn't have to be deep and personal and blah, blah, blah. But it is deep and personal to us right now. We're learning.
I think that's the sort of thing I was feeling, that I find that we can't do this and not be fully honest. Like, even if it steps into an oversharing vibe at times, I do think it's like impossible to have a microphone in front of you and not talk about what's going on in your life. I physically find it impossible.
If you're being honest, yeah.
If you're being honest, of course. But then I think that was the thing that it's like, okay, so if I record this week, as in last week, I would be lying to all of you. I would have to be, so I'm going to talk about productivity right now. Productivity and burnout is like, but I can't get out of bed.
You'd have to miss out half the story, yeah.
And even though it's like, yeah, in the episode, no doubt we were going to say, and we may be about to say, guys, fuck capitalism, fuck it, like live your life. You don't need to be productive at all. But it's like, no, I'm not living that. I'm manic right now. I'm like scrapping for what I can. Like I can't come and kind of talk about, I can't talk about anything that isn't just like fucking get me through these 10 days, but also just kind of what the fuck am I going to do in life? I feel terrible.
And every day following, kind of.
Every day following, yeah. I just feel like I reached a boiling point of like, I hate to say it that it's, hate to bring up fucking body dysmorphia once again, because I hate the idea of becoming the body dysmorphia girl.
She literally never brings it up. She literally never brings it up. Like, like people are hearing this for the first time. They're like, what?
Well, I think I've reached a breaking point with that. I think, okay, when I talk about self-hatred, blah, 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 I'm just literally talking about body dysmorphia. Mm-hmm. I've reached a boiling point with that I've realized I cannot live my life like this. I cannot live my life with this level of just like fear around my own body. I need to get over this. And I think it's like, I cannot be honest to you guys if I don't get over it, because I'll be saying, you guys will be saying, oh my God, you're pretty. And all I'll be hearing is I'm fat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, okay, so I can't do this unless I get over this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the mission now to get over this.
Absolutely. And also kind of even deeper, like knowing that like getting over it, it's not just like, I've decided to get like it's the patience we kept talking about,
yeah.
Having patience of like getting through it, and also the patience and the forgiveness of yourself. Sorry, I'm being so woo-woo these days, but I think it's needed.
Yeah,
kind of. It's one thing to say, okay, I'm struggling with body dysmorphia, but it's another thing to also be like, I'm struggling with thinking that people are gonna think I'm like weak or fat, yeah, or all of these things. So that also then means I can't speak freely in my own space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, easier said than done. I'm gonna fucking fix this. I've hit a breaking point with it, whatever.
Bikini bottom.
I'm literally living in bikini bottom right now. And I would love to wear some bikini bottoms. Fuck this. Like, yeah, it's just, yeah. I'm done. And I've said I'm done a million times and then being like, right, okay, no, but no dinner for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've actually got to a point where it's like, I'm gonna ruin my life if I don't get over this. I've created a load of shit and I need to kill it. So I'm doing this whole fucking, I mean, it's just what that actually looks like is a load of actual practical work, which is just quite exhausting, which is why I just haven't been present, but I'm back now, hopefully.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to have about a million breakdowns to come. So it's all good.
Well, I think we're coming with a kind of bit of a refreshed angle. The only way really that we could sit down and record this was by kind of saying like, we have to kind of ditch the airs and graces now and just come as we are, which is funny because we have been very honest in, you know, the past episodes, but I can give an honest performance,
yeah,
but I can still be hiding away or kind of shifting into the background parts of myself that I wouldn't want on the episode. And I just think it's all about forgiveness. I think in the sense of like,
Wings become a priest, she's giving us all forgiveness.
I honestly, I'm back into the priestess vibe. But I think it just comes down to like, why is who you are right now not good enough?
I agree.
Why is that person not good enough for every episode? Why is that person not good enough just to live the life that you're wanting to live?
Exactly.
So that's it. It's just full acceptance, patience, forgiveness, peace, serenity, harmony.
And I
goes without saying.
Oh, well, that was a perfect end, but I was just going to add in just a little bit. I was just going to continue that. I didn't realise that was going to wrap up so perfectly.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think we've been saying that we need to almost reframe within ourselves, even if the content doesn't even appear that different on surface level, just within ourselves, we need to come with a more like casual energy, because I think we pour so much into this hour because it's like 1 hour a week that you get from us, but it needs to be perfect, we need to be our perfect selves and all of this stuff. And it's like, actually, if we can just come with a more casual energy from us, like it's not this pressure, it's not you have to be perfect, like you can fuck up, it's fine, it would just be so freeing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it's all self-acceptance. I think that is the most liberating thing.
I agree.
How exciting. I hope everyone else is accepting themselves.
Yeah, you better be. You better be. Doesn't mean anything.
It's like coming from the least expect, like least, like we were just saying before recording that this is not like an iconic duo. Like we were kind of saying if this podcast is kind of what we would love is if just one by one people, like the women who listen, just slowly they one by one just love themselves.
Yeah.
Tick tick tick. It cannot happen from two people who absolutely despise themselves. Like the scrappiest people.
We were saying it's literally like, I don't even know if this is like weird. We were literally like, okay, so if Wing's depression and I'm anxiety, it's literally the least iconic duo. It's like, okay, so just like the most depressed person, the most anxious person, it's like, hey guys, and we're back again. It's like, no, don't come back. Come back once you've sorted out your shit, mate.
Honestly, send us away. Yeah, we need to be like exercised out of your life. Like you honestly need an exorcism to get this podcast away from you. But that's kind of where we've been. And we had like, we've been through a whole process. We were like, oh my God, like, do we need like to stop it for a bit? Like blah, 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 blah. No, that's not what's happening.
We're just doing a general reframing of how we cope.
God, it's getting worse and worse.
How our coping mechanisms use the content won't change, guys. Don't worry.
This is all about how you are involved in our coping mechanisms. How our mental health issues will be impacting you. A seminar by Sophie and Wing.
So embarrassing.
Okay, well, if we're being honest, shall we talk about our personal, just where we are right now with burnout, where we've been with productivity, what that relationship is looking like?
Mm. Oh, okay. Well, do you want to go first or should I go first?
Always ladies first, you go first.
My drama teacher once said, I'm not very ladylike. So rude.
Why did they say that?
He said, because I swore, obviously.
Oh, boring.
Fucka, fucka, fucka around that town when I was in year nine. And they said, that's not very ladylike. And I said, well, that's misogynistic.
Too right, it's not fucking ladylike.
And I thought, why should I have to act like a fucking lady? Like, what does that even mean, gross man? Although I did fancy him. Anyway, I think my relationship with productivity and burnout, I think I have an ongoing mission in life that is, just fucking chill out, man. Just chill out, man. Just fucking stop.
Mm-hmm.
I found myself over my 10-day crazy isolation, which I'm not best left to my own devices in my bedroom, because I will find some scraps and try and like become like open my own kind of craft fair sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like I get a bit mad with it. I started making all these like rings, these like cat rings with like cats' faces on.
I will say they are the best thing you've ever made.
They're so stunning.
Yeah, they're really fun.
They're so fucking cool. Like I want to wear them. That's why I made them. So I'm trying to grow my nails.
The whole thing. I can't wear these rings because I need to grow my nails.
They're so fucking cool. But I got quite like, once I made one, I suddenly was working in a factory. Mm-hmm. I was like, right, one down, put it in the pile to go in the oven, right, mm-hmm. kind of, then we're gonna fire them all, then we're gonna glaze them. Like, it was getting a bit like, and as I said, there's like personal shit going on, like sad stuff going on. And I think I was very much using that as a coping mechanism to distract mm-hmm. myself.
Tale as old as time.
I think I must have spent about 14 hours making these cats mm-hmm. all day, these little cat rings. And then by the evening, obviously, I just like had a breakdown. I was like, fuck, I'm so sad about this thing that's going on. It's like, yeah, you kind of would cry in the evening that you spent 14 hours making cat rings.
Cat rings?
You would?
Yeah.
It's like, what is that?
Yeah.
They're stunning, but it's what? So I think I definitely have a fucked up relationship with, or like I lose myself very easily in productivity.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I'm on a project, I just go all in and then get knackered from it.
Well, this is why I was saying to Seffi, her new project is just her own self. Like, what a nice...
The best project I've ever heard.
Yeah, to be honest, like, what a nice... Kind of the only way to move forward. My project is just myself, my sense of self.
And you better believe I'm going to get an A star.
Yeah. I think also an important thing there is that, like, there is a level of distraction that can be really healthy.
Totally, totally. Well, it is for maybe an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
When you're pushing past the 7-hour mark, maybe. Or
if you're just kind of doing just whatever you're doing and it's not being fueled by,
love.
I guess, a fear of failure, really. Yeah, if you're doing something just out of, or just sort of like, even if you don't really love it, but you're just feeling all right.
No, but I don't mean love for it, but like a love for yourself that's like, I'm going to explore this new thing. I've ordered a load of clay. I'm going to make some cats. I'm just going to explore this rather than, oh my God, suddenly I've got a tick list. I've got to make 50 today sort of thing. It's like, you're going mad. That translates into anything. It's like, you can play netball without being a professional netballer.
Yeah.
It's fine.
So this is another thing that I was saying. Sorry, because we haven't done an episode for a week, I've been storing all of the normal things that I just like think to myself while I'm making a cup of tea, and I'm like, mention that next week.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to say. So I've got like a backlog of like
points,
sentences,
little hot takes.
Yeah. Tiny bullet points.
You'll see these on the reels later.
And this one was about, I was watching this thing and this woman was saying like, you can go into it. She was talking about like sustainability, and we should talk about that. But
yeah,
she was saying like, you can go into a shop or you can see something being sold and absolutely love it. Like, think it's the coolest thing. Think it's amazing. Think it like represents you so much. Like, think it's perfect. And leave it there.
Literally.
You can see something in a shop and love it and go home without it. You don't have to claim, this is now my part coming in, you don't have to claim everything to be yours.
Yeah.
Like, don't claim it. And it's kind of like, even you being like, here I go again, body dysmorphia. It's like, you don't have to claim that. It's not, you don't claim it.
Exactly.
What are we claiming here?
And trust me, I don't want to fucking claim this. Don't make me claim it. But I agree, it's like, you can wear fucking Converse every day and not be the Converse girl, or you can wear fucking hoop earrings every day, you're not a hoop earring girl, you're just you.
You can be a bit sad one day and not be
the sad girl,
and it doesn't have to be a whole life.
Yeah, that's the bit when it gets difficult, when things feel,
you don't have to be attached.
Yeah, when things feel like they are so like all-consuming and it's like your identity
permanent
in this thing, that's when it's hard to be like, this isn't you. Like, you're I'm also, I agree, I've been storing things, but I also think it's like, it's like, they, I think, I don't know where I saw this. I think it must have been in a meditation thing. I must have heard it, but it was like, what you do does not define you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what you do. It's who you are. It's not how you spend your time that's important.
Who are you? Yeah.
Who are you? Doesn't matter. Oh, I'm actually writing a novel. Fuck your fucking novel. You're not a novelist. You might be, congrats, but you're not that. That's not you. You're also just a fucking girl in a fucking room. What do you believe? What do you think? It's all good. You don't need the perfect thing.
Yeah, because, and I was saying yesterday, like, I would never be like, oh, this is my friend Steffi, like, yeah, she just like makes these cat rings and blah blah blah. It's like, that's not,
please never
how I
ever introduce me
her
like that. She just makes these like cat rings. It's like, no.
But I wouldn't even say that, like, she's got this podcast and blah blah blah. It's just,
I wouldn't want you to.
There are a million qualities that make you who you are. You don't have to scramble around them.
I'd want you to say, this is my friend Seffi, she's my soulmate, she's my life partner.
Yeah.
What's your like relationship with burnout and productivity and stuff at the moment?
I kind of think burnout, really, the crux, if I offer up our first crux of the episode.
We've had our first crux proposal.
Crux proposal.
Number one. First one of the episode.
Crux proposal, brackets A, close bracket. the rain is coming in.
Really?
Yeah, or I'm popping popcorn. Which one is it? You'll never know. I'm inside a microwave with a bag of popcorn. I think kind of the crux of burnout, or at least the crux of burnout for me, is more just about the symbol. Oh, to me, burnout is just a symbol of you're just not taking care of yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not even really about you burn out from a particular activity or a particular thing, a particular person, like something at work. Because even though that is a big part of it, at the end of that, it's just that you haven't been taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
And yeah, by taking care of yourself, taking care of yourself could look like working less or scheduling in time off from work. But I just think, I don't know, I just feel like there's a big emphasis in my life at the moment on where honestly she needs to sort out her priorities and where are the priorities. Because if you're not your own priority, you may as well, I hate to say it,
quit.
I was gonna say die.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I knew you were gonna say die, so I thought I'd throw in quit really quickly.
But if you're not, to me, am I committing to being myself for the rest of my life or no? Like, am I going to commit to taking care of myself and doing this properly or no? What's the alternative?
I burn out, I die.
That is that. I think that is the crux. You're correct in that that is the crux.
Mm-hmm.
You could even take it even further. That it's not even not taking care of yourself. It's not valuing yourself.
Yeah.
It's like you literally, by overworking yourself and being like, I need to scrap for this thing. I need to just work, and then I can have that. You're not valuing your present moment. You're using your present moment, as Eckhart Tolle would say in that book that I read fucking months ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's still on my mind. The power of, no, not the power of now. What's it called?
The one about Earth.
Yeah, yeah. New Earth.
Yeah.
A new Earth. He said it's like you're valuing your present moment as if it's like a means to an end to future happiness. Like you're never valuing how you are now. It's like, if I work on this now, if I apply for these jobs now, then I'll get this job in the future. You'll be miserable at that job then. Or you'll be trying to get a promotion for like 2 months later. You're always viewing like this happiness as like a future thing. Never now. Never now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, well, if you value your now, you value who you are right now in this moment, oh, you're free then. Doesn't fucking matter what happens in 2 months, because you'll be valuing your now then. You're fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you're not taking care of, well, it is that you're not taking care of yourself, but even further, it's like you're literally telling yourself you don't give a fuck about yourself, and you will only care about this future version,
and before you know it, your life will be donezo.
You'll be dead,
because this is why all the old people are telling us. Honestly, shout out to all the old people that are trying to tell us. They're honestly trying to shake us and be like, stop giving a fuck about all these things that don't mean anything. And we're just going, I'm not listening to you, fucking old hag.
Like, but you don't get it.
Yeah.
You don't get it. They always just say, relax.
Yeah, exactly.
Relax. Mm-hmm. Relax. It's all gonna work out. It's all okay.
Yeah.
Don't have to do half the shit you're doing.
Yeah.
To be honest, you don't have to do 80% of the shit you're doing. Because 80% of the shit you're doing is like worry,
yeah,
stress, fear. It's like, cut it then. Just do the 20%. That's the only thing that's actually driving you in a good direction.
Mm-hmm.
Just do the 20s. Fill that 80 with fucking ice cream. It's all good, mate.
I actually think productivity for me is, and this is also, again, what I was saying when we were discussing our whole, I'm on this whole recovery plan. This is my life now is a full dedicated mission to enjoying myself, basically.
Yeah.
And just feeling so excited and happy to get to live as me in this life.
As you should be.
As you should. As we should.
Yeah, as we fucking should.
As we should. Goes without fucking saying. Because what's the alternative? What is the alternative?
Don't make us say it again.
Don't make me say it.
We'll die. We will die.
So yeah, I think productivity for me, not even, I think avoiding burnout for me is actually just about, here's the thing. I've been talking about discipline a lot.
You have. You've been up my ass about discipline.
Discipline.
Right, fucking discipline yourself.
Yeah, because I think, so, Seffi, forgive me, stop me if you think I'm wrong.
I know you won't be.
But I think Seffi is quite disciplined in the wrong way.
Yeah. Agreed.
So you hold yourself down to like the wrong things. Who are you answering to?
I'm answering to the devil at the moment.
Can we talk about Emma?
Huh? What'd you say?
I said, can we talk about Emma?
Oh, fuck it. Let's talk about Emma. Fuck it. Okay, now it is just like body dysmorphia episode, but fuck it, talk about Emma.
It's not, isn't you barely said a peep about body dysmorphia.
Okay, good. You can start with Emma, just whatever.
Well, Seffi's got this thing living inside of her, and I'm going to call it Emma.
No, no, wait, we need, okay, that sounds like I've got some weird fucking parasite sort of demon inside me. So I'm working through that at the moment. My therapist told me to read this book on body dysmorphia. This is part of my recovery plan,
mm-hmm,
to get me out of the depths of despair,
mm-hmm,
that we're both on these fucking missions at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, you had to draw like a self-portrait.
Oh my God.
Of what you perceive yourself to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to show it to someone you trust. I showed it to my sister, and I also showed it to Wing. The self-portrait of what I perceive myself to look like. And as I drew it and I thought, all right, okay, I'm being really accurate bit by bit. Okay, this is just, I think this is kind of exactly what, like realistically, I think I look like. And as I took a step back, I realized that I'd drawn probably the ugliest person alive, like
a monster,
a literal demon
monster.
This person is, I couldn't describe how foul this person is.
Honestly foul.
You would not want to see this at the end of your bed in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
like, it's quite scary. And I showed it to my sister, who laughed her head off, and I showed it to Wing, who I would say you were more scared than laughing.
I think I actually cried with laughter though. Like, same. Crying with pain and fear and sadness and also like hysterical laughter.
It might be the ugliest thing ever created, I think. The drawing was insane, and I can see rationally I don't believe myself to look like that. I know I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think I have a demon in my mind that we now call Emma, because Wing then texts me afterwards being like, oh my god, it looks exactly like, you may have seen this, it's like this weird fucking robot thing that was made, like this model of a woman that was made to show office workers what would happen to their body within like 30 years of like deterioration, like their spine is like crippled over, her skin is like
her skin
like she's just
her neck, like it's just
she's like the most foul creature to scare office workers into not like being sort of lazy at their desks. I don't really know, like get outside is telling them
to don't be hunched over and staring at a screen and like not eating properly and like drinking coffee all day,
like don't end up like Emma, guys. Don't end up like Emma. But I'm living every day like I'm Emma.
Like you are Emma.
Crazy.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Like when I actually looked at it, and one of the bits in the book was like, rate how other people agree with this image, and it's literally it's laughable, it's actually like embarrassing. But yeah, no, I think I do hold myself accountable to what Emma wants from me, which Emma does want me to die. She does want my demise,
and she ruins things like cat rings. You're having a nice fun time and Emma's spoiling it all. So we're trying to turn Emma into Voldemort when he looks like a little rotisserie chicken at the end of the series and he's a little scrawned up.
A little baby lying under a bench. And they're like, what's that?
What is that fucking thing? Yeah.
That will be Emma. She'll be dead. But I think that's the thing. It's like, yeah, it ruins things like even having a podcast with my friend. Oh no, because it's not Seffy and Wing. It's Wing and Emma. Emma, yeah. Get Emma out of here.
And I'll tell you something. I cannot do episodes with Emma.
No, and you would not listen.
And that was why we, you know, had to assume the worst and took the time. But I think the thing with discipline is, what are you being disciplined to? Because you can be unhealthy with discipline and be very strict on yourself to like work 12 hours a day, like don't eat healthy. Do you know what I mean? Like eat all the wrong things. Like, you know, you can be disciplined in treating yourself badly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be disciplined in like kind of making sure I sleep properly, meditating every single morning. Like there are things that I will not let go now because I'm making a commitment to myself.
They're non-negotiable. Non-negotiable, because you can't skip them. There are some things you cannot skip.
Mm-hmm. And I'll offer that up as my second crux,
the second horcrux, if you will.
Yeah, the second horcrux.
Why didn't we call them horcruxes? Clever.
A horcrux. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, let's go.
Let's run with the theme, the awful theme that we've made in this podcast.
Yeah, I think that is the... If the first horcrux is... What was the first one?
I've forgotten it already.
Self-acceptance, probably. Something about self-acceptance. Then this one is about a commitment to yourself. And it's, where are the intentions?
Yeah.
And being intentional with my recovery. More than that, I'm just being intentional with my one life.
Yeah, your one.
I only get one. Or maybe you didn't notice. There were three. But yeah, there's one.
There's only one, guys. We liked it in a few episodes ago when we were like, stop, look up. But right now we're telling you, right now, Harry, this is for you.
Now I speak directly to you, yeah.
We speak directly to you.
1 hour, 1 hour,
You've got one of these. This is your one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow.
Oh, wow.
This opportunity only comes once in a lifetime. Yo.
Yo. Nice. Get me out of it. That's awful. That was really bad.
Something about mum spaghetti.
Fuck.
You've only got one shot. I'm just going to do it all over again.
I'm cutting this now. I need a wee. I'm stopping this where it is.
You're not throwing away your shot.
Oh, my God.
So we've saved some of the questions. Well, they're all in our archive, but I mean, it's been a while. I screenshotted some at the time, but there's one that I really liked because it's just quite simple. And just, I think this is the question. It just says, what are we even meant to be producing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are we even meant to be producing? And I was thinking about it. This was literally like fucking 2 weeks ago now. So I don't know if this is quite like a fragmented thought now, but I was thinking, it's like, I have got to the point where whatever I'm doing is never enough. I will never feel productive because of the standards that I think half that I've set for myself and half that capitalism has set for us as a whole, that no matter what you do, it always seems unproductive. Because unless you're kind of launching your big fucking makeup collection and it's selling out day one, you're making millions in the first 10 minutes, nothing seems productive. Like, how on earth can kind of, okay, well, I sent my ASOS order back and I fucking went and I got some bananas that I needed and blah, like, does nothing feels productive anymore?
Yeah.
Like, almost, what are you supposed to be producing? You're supposed to be producing the best fucking album. You're supposed to be producing fucking folklore. Like,
yeah, I love that. Oh, no, you're going to say something.
No, I was going to say, what do you think?
I think that's a great point. The con of that is, oh, you're meant to be producing a life that you love
whilst you work somewhere you hate.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't even, the means of producing a life that you love means that a life that you love is the end goal and not something that you can be feeling right now.
Now, yeah,
just placing the emphasis on something that's
future happiness
at the end. Yeah, which I also think goals are so needed and healthy and like important. I just think, honestly, dwelling on dreams and forgetting to live but forgetting to live in the present, you don't have, just because you have goals doesn't mean you can't enjoy right now
and that your life can't look stunning right now. Because I think that's one of the things that's like, okay, so when I have this and when I have this, then I'll be happy. It's like, well, you might, one, you might never get them. Two, when you do get them, then you would have wasted your time now because you would have just been preparing for this weird, like, fictitious version of future you that has like the perfect existence. But it's like, actually, they probably are also just as fucking insecure as you. They probably also have like a fucked up relationship with their fucking cousin and shit. Like, you need to actually,
that was random, yeah,
like, just accept like where you are now.
Well, and also, do you ever have that thing where you look back at like an old photo of yourself or like think back to an old time in life and you think like, shit, that was actually like really cool, or like, fuck, I looked really good, or like just anything. It's like, why did I make that a time of commiseration when it was actually, you know, ice cream lifestyle? What,
do you know what that is? That is the end of The Office when Andy Bernard says,
yes,
I wish you could know it was the good old days before you've left them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, it's the fucking good old days now.
Yeah,
you're gonna be looking back going, oh god, like, how, I wish you could know it was the good old days before you've left them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sing a song that you're fucking Andy Bernard like at the end of The Office and everyone cries.
So stunning.
So look, Andy could have known it was the good old days back with Dwight and Jim. Mm-hmm. The good old days.
Yeah, I think a part of it, at least for me, is like the choice of, and I've said this before, but like, I'm fucking serious now. I need to make, when I have the ability to make a choice, I have to choose the best choice for myself. And like,
yeah,
getting lost and burnt out in shit and like being productive in the wrong way is not the right choice for myself, and it's not sustainable.
No.
Okay, this person said, I saved them all too, but let me think about what one I want to give. Also, you probably can hear like a load of men shouting about.
Oh, really? Ugh,
men, am I right?
What they like?
Ugh, men, am I right, ladies? Don't forget to hit subscribe. Go to that website. Okay, this I think is the perfect summary.
Are you offering another Horcrux?
You know what? I will offer you another Horcrux. I'll give you a second, your two Horcruxes I've already given you. I'll raise you a third. I don't know how poker works. But anyway, this person said, my depression makes it hard to do really basic things, but my anxiety makes me feel bad for not being productive. So it's paralyzing. And I just think you've hit the nail on the head there, lady. What do you think? little lady.
Sorry, could you just say it one time again? I kind of didn't hear the first bit of it.
They said, my depression makes it hard to do really basic things, but my anxiety makes me feel bad for not being productive. So it's paralyzing.
Yeah.
You can never win.
Honestly, stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, and meanwhile, and this is, again, why I loved the overall sentiment of first lockdown, because everyone was telling me, just calm down, have a bath.
It's quite a cushioned time.
Banana bread. Oh, so soothing. Like, I need that social messaging.
Tiger King was on, and like,
Tiger King, fucking hell, I haven't heard that name in years.
Jeff Exotic, who?
Wow, that really took me back. Yeah, but yeah, it is that sorry. Ugh. Emma coming up. joking
on Emma.
But don't you think that's just kind of, I think that is the whole crux. I think that is the crux, is depression makes it hard to do anything, and anxiety will have you feeling shit about not doing enough, so then you go into overdrive and you can't.
Yeah,
where's the balance in that?
You'll be trying to do it all, but you'll be burning yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, yeah, I think we may have hit whoever sent that. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Round of applause. Mm-hmm. I think you found the third crux of the app, because that is,
nailed it. Yeah,
that's it, that you want to do shit but you can't do shit.
Uh-huh.
Everything in you is telling you, fuck, I've got to do shit. You feel pressure to do shit, but your body is saying, but I literally can't.
I think what is needed there, and I'm going to circle back to the beginning, and you're going to hate me for it because it's so woo-woo and annoying and cliche.
Oh, is it going to be the big F word?
It is the F word, forgiveness. And also patience.
Mm.
Because I just think you have to, well, not even you have to, but for me, I think a lot of it is don't claim it. You know, like, I feel great today. This is true. Now I'm speaking the truth. Mm-hmm. I feel great today. I'm having a really nice day. If I feel really awful tomorrow and I find it really hard to get out of bed, that is all right. And I'm not going to punish myself for that.
Mm-hmm.
I just forgive myself for anything I may or may not feel, for however long that feeling lasts. I don't need to claim it as me and my whole self.
Yeah.
Let it in. Let it out. Know that it will go. Because also, especially with, like, when you're in like the deepest depths of despair, when you're in a deep depression, it doesn't feel like, oh, it's just, I'm just having a bad day. It's like, no, it's a very permanent feeling that you're taking with you if you manage to leave the house, everywhere you go. And I just think the biggest part of that is just accepting. I accept myself as who I am, as someone who has the luxury of experiencing fluctuating emotions.
Yeah, nice, nice.
To quote Rihanna, kind of completely flip what she said on its head. I just think it's forgiveness.
I completely agree. It's because it's that forgiveness is kind of acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
So once you can accept the quote-unquote negative or unpleasant parts of yourself, it's like, okay, well then you're free.
None of it matters.
You're free. You can actually just relax into who you are rather than attempting to like curate this version of yourself. Well, no, I never really get sad, and when I do get sad, I just like brush that under the carpet. It never fucking happened, and then those are my down periods, and now I'm on top. It's like, no, all of it is kind of fine, and none of it is really representative of you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're above kind of emotions, let's take it to Andy from Headspace once again.
Mm-hmm. We love to.
He uses a wonderful metaphor, wonderful, wonderful metaphor that I remember seeing literally back in the day. I must have been like 16, I don't know. It's like you're sitting at the side of a road. There's traffic going past. There's just loads of traffic. And all these cars are your thoughts. They're your, like, just random thoughts that are going past in a day. Like, I need to make my coffee. I'm running late. I need to have a shower. Oh, like, that looks nice. Oh, that's a fucking cute dog. Whatever. They're your thoughts that are going past.
Mm-hmm.
You can just sit by the side of the road and watch them all go past. What you do when you get into a spiral of something is you jump in front of a car, you jump onto it, and you, like, go down the fucking road on its bonnet. Like, ah! Like kind of freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to do that. When you actually just watch them go, you are not the car. That one thought that was like, I'm a fucking piece of shit, beep 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 beep, going down the road. You don't need to jump on that. That's not you. That was just a big fucking lorry going past. And if you sit by the side of the road, look, the next one will come past and it's, what a beautiful flower. Like, mm-hmm, whatever. Mm-hmm. There will just be shit that comes past. Like, I want to watch The Fucking Office, that bit where Andy Bernard sings that song,
let it go.
It's fine. Just sit by the side of the fucking road. Get your deck chair out.
Mm-hmm.
Get a magazine. It's all good. These are just your thoughts. You are not your thoughts.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm stunned.
And once again, Andy nails it.
Isn't that so nice? It's hard. It's one of those things that I think this whole, to be honest, the whole of goes without saying, is just you have to be in the right headspace to let it hit you. Otherwise, it's very annoying.
Very jarring. The most jarring podcast you could listen to.
The most.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, this is good. This is a really good point. They've given us a hot take to feed off of. This person said, I feel like being a woman, you have pressure to be organized, productive, and if you say no to helping someone or taking in extra work, you're immediately seen as a bitch. And even though that's not explicitly said to me, I feel like I'd let people down if I don't say yes to everything. And I burn out because I overwork myself and take on more tasks during difficult or traumatic times. They put the sparkles around it. Give a bit of personality. I like that. To feel like I'm in control, I say yes to everything. I have a hard time trusting others to do things properly when I'm doing a project or task. Oh my God, don't get me started. It's all about control. Yes. Oh, I actually didn't know they were going to get into control at the end, but that is a really good point. Can we start off with the gendered thing though?
I mean, you've hit the nail on the head once again, because that is just, I think any fucking woman will know that they of course have to take on more, just of course, than the men in their life. You see yourself like, there's been a dinner cooked, who is clearing those plates realistically? Of course it will be you.
Kind of, I'm a celeb, it might be you.
It might be you.
Going around the room, all the men, it's not you.
It's not you.
All the women, it might be you. It's like, is it big sister or Auntie Jane? Neck and neck. Auntie Jane, it's you. You're going up. You have to clean those fucking dishes, bitch. Back in the kitchen, baby.
It might be you. But I always thought that was the weirdest format. It might be you.
All the men biting their is it biting their nails? Who's it gonna be? It's not me.
Dad, it's not you. Uncle Jim, it's not you.
It's not you.
Little brother on his iPad, it's not you.
Baby Sarah, it might be you.
To be honest, it might be you. If you recognize yourself in this story, it might be you. Of course, there's just so much more pressure to be kind of this perfect, like, you have all the jobs to do, but you must have, like, makeup on, your hair must be perfect, and you must be not wearing a top with any stains on, even though you're cooking dinner up, like, really fucking rushed last night. You must be perfect. Then there's no leeway for women to fuck up.
Mm-hmm. I do think as well, I know we've spoken about this, but I think there is like an undeniable pressure for young women to have every avenue of their life under control.
Yeah.
In a way that there isn't really for young men. So like, I would feel pretty confident in saying that the social messaging for me, if my boyfriend and I weren't together, the social messaging that I would receive and the way that I would be feeling about not being picked and chosen would be absolutely non-existent in his mind. We're just not told the same things. We don't tell little boys, or we don't talk to little boys about weddings and princesses in the same way that we do to young girls. I think that's a pretty reasonable assertion to make.
Absolutely. That boys get kind of adventures and
muddy knees,
fucking trucks and planes, and like, it's all about this like big world, whereas women get like, or little girls get toy kitchens and Barbies and shoes and brats and princesses. It's like, princesses realistically locked in a fucking castle waiting for her sort of prince to come and rescue her. The fucking prince is on fucking dragons
through blistering winds and scorching deserts.
It's like, if the princess toy comes with a toy mirror and a wand, and the prince toy also comes with a dragon and a sword, it's like, I want the fucking dragon and the sword, please. Like, I don't want the hairbrush.
Well, you can just, you can have, why does it have to be prescribed?
Yeah, why does it have to be prescribed, but also fucking give me a dragon?
Yeah, but you're lying then, because you would absolutely choose the hairbrush.
I'm actually thinking I would want the hairbrush with the dragon.
That's what I was going to say.
I don't really want the sword, and I don't want the mirror.
If we've got things laid out, yeah.
I want the hairbrush and the dragon. I want to brush the dragon's mane. Do dragons have manes?
I would take, yeah, the dragon and the mirror, because I'm not fussed about my hair, but yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing, like, my eyelashes.
I also wouldn't mind a sword.
Sword, I don't, would I try, like, what bugs me about weaponry on you is, like, if I'm walking around with a gun in my bag.
Could get used against.
Well, just what if it goes off? Like,
yeah.
What if I accidentally knock the trigger and it shoots me in the head? This is a level of competence that I think I have.
I sometimes do think this, like, this is obviously taking this to a crazy dark place, but if someone broke into your house and you were, like, kind of in that fucking, you're, what's her name, Drew Barrymore at the beginning of Scream sort of thing, like, someone's in your house, like,
someone's in my house, I'm like, quickly let me put a t-shirt on and wet it and shave my legs and take my knickers
off. Let me, like, quickly take my bra off, put a tight t-shirt on. We are gonna need to see some nipple on show.
Yeah,
like, how can I look sexy for the male gaze whilst I die?
Let me just get a bit of concealer on.
But you're kind of Drew, you're like making your popcorn, blah, blah, blah. Someone phones you, what's your favorite scary movie? Do you grab a knife? knife? Like, do you think you grab a knife?
I literally had a knife the other day.
Really?
There's a big knife in the drawer. But I also had, I've got like a glass candlestick holder the other day.
Mm.
And I had that. I had big knife in one hand.
Oh, you told me this.
The competent, oh yeah, I did. The competent side of me had a big old knife, also still completely irrational. And the other hand, I had this, essentially what looks like a beer bottle, ready, because I thought to myself, if someone comes at me, I can smash it on the wall and then quickly.
Use it as a dagger.
And then, yeah, I've got not only a big old knife, but also a dagger, kind of Valyrian steel.
Okay, so you really, you, yeah, okay, that's, not really. Didn't realise you'd have such a good answer.
Well, remember when we lived together and you were saying that there's two types of people, because we were watching a movie one night.
Oh, this is a long term theory.
Yeah, we were watching a movie one night and there in our house, well, I've definitely told this on the podcast before, but in our house it used to be like the kind of back garden and then the kitchen was like a tiny kitchen with the, like a little oven from the 1950s.
Literally the worst kitchen you've ever seen.
It's so strange.
With the oven right in the middle of the room, like not in a cute way, just randomly.
Honestly, in front of the door.
tiny room with counters and just an oven in the middle of the room.
The fridge and the oven in front of the door.
Just like the worst placement.
So strange.
The worst placement of an oven ever.
So the back garden would be, and then you had the kitchen and the windows right there, and then the kitchen would lean onto the living room, again tiny living room, and we were sat in the living room watching a movie, so you could see
kind of worst placement of a living room ever.
Yeah, just the whole thing was off. I don't know what they were thinking.
Terrible.
But you could look through the door to the kitchen and then see out the kitchen windows into the back garden at night time. It's quite spooks McGee, really.
Yeah.
And we were watching a movie and there was a noise. So, and I remember you and like, you were like leaning back, like you were just like not reacting, and I like leaned forward, like looking out, like the fuck is that, like kind of like leaned out into the kitchen, and you were like, that's so weird that you would like look.
It's because I have a long-term theory, and I've had this since primary school, this theory, because I've always just been obsessed with like fear as a concept, because
mm-hmm.
I love being spooked,
mm-hmm.
but not being scared. That's the distinction. Been working on these theories for life. Me and my friend came up with this theory in like year six, that there are two types of people, that when you're scared in your bedroom, in your childhood bedroom, do you either, you hear a noise, do you either hide under the covers, like pull the duvet over your head and like hide, or do you run out of the room?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 100% the person that hides under the covers, whereas mm-hmm. my friend was someone that she'd run to her mum's room.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're the person that would kind of get up and like look.
I go looking.
Yeah.
Why would I go looking for someone who wants to kill me?
That's what I'm saying. Why would you?
Well, I would, because why would you hide? They're going to come and find you.
Because it's just bury your head in the sand, like play dead.
You know what it is? No one's coming, Harry. Nobody's coming.
I just think it's like, pretend you're not there, play dead. Like, it's not rational, but it's just like, freeze. It's like a fight or flight. But it's like freeze.
Right. Got you. Yeah.
But so, for example, when you heard that noise in the garden, you were like, right, I'm going to fucking look. I'm going to fucking confront them. I'm like, pretend they're not there. If they're not looking at us, we're all fine. Like, kind of a child covering their eyes and they think they vanish.
Also, do you remember when we were pranked and I had to come rescue you?
Oh, I think about it every day. My blood runs cold when I remember that prank. It was truly horrific.
Basically, when we watched the movie Us, you tell it.
We've told it so many times. If you're a long-term listener, this is just becoming like mythology by this point. I'm sure it just changes slightly every time our memory just fades.
It's old legend. Legend has it that it once played.
Legend has it that once we watched the movie Us, directed by the amazing Jordan Peele, you have to watch it if you haven't already. I think it's my favourite film, I've decided, in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a quite a spooky soundtrack, and there's just one song in it that we used to get a bit freaked out by, that goes ha he ha ha.
It's very spooky. Mm-hmm.
And we get quite creeped out about it and things like that. And there was just one day that me and Wing were at home working. I was in my room, Wing was in her room downstairs, I was upstairs, and that song, like ha he ha, just came on the Alexa just so fucking like piercingly loud. And I think Wing just heard me shout from upstairs, Wing, like crying, please help,
Wing, and I had to run up the stairs
just so scared, and I was like quivering in the corner, like why are they coming for us? I knew the tethered were coming. But there was weird shit that would happen, like our neighbours. Well, we had like this wall in between our house and our neighbours. Is this just uni stories now? Like, what are we going into?
Well, I said this to you the other day. We never got to the end of this. We never got to the crux
of what happened here.
Yeah, of what actually happened.
But in the film, in the movie Us, it's quite symbolic. There are like red scissors is their weapon that they use. These big like red scissors is what they kill people with. And we were just terrified of us for like months on end.
Mm-hmm.
And one day we just like came out of our house, and on the wall between our neighbour's house and our house, there was just this big pair of like red scissors just like pointing.
Our garden wall.
Yeah, our back garden. Like no one could get there other than our neighbours. So we assume it's the neighbours, unless we're being pranked again.
Mm-hmm.
Big pair of like red scissors like pointing at our house on the wall.
That's spooky. And they used to play that song.
Yeah, I think they were, I think our neighbours were pranking us.
Yeah. The whole street was in on the prank.
It was horrific.
The whole of Brighton.
We walk out of our house one day, they're all in red jumpsuits holding hands. Oh, we're like, God. Oh, we knew it.
So awful.
So scary. But this is just uni time now. What are we doing?
We were talking about fear. How did we get there?
That you looked out. Oh, I said if you were Drew Barrymore in Scream, would you grab a knife?
Yeah, but why did you say that?
I don't know. It's just the sort of thing I would say randomly, I guess.
Why did you say that? Oh, princesses and knives, and you tried to say you wouldn't want the hairbrush.
Yeah. Oh, would you choose a sword or the hairbrush? Fucking hell. You came for a feminist podcast, you end up with that shit. So sorry.
I should have missed another week.
I really like this one. Someone said, I hate being hungover, unwell, injured, and not being able to do anything.
Oh my God. So much.
I find that interesting because I think there's a bit of me that quite loves that because it gives you the allowance to be like, okay, I'm allowed.
That gives you the permission that you needed.
It gives you the ability to be like, I'm allowed to chill out. I've been speaking to some other people about this because of isolation's on my mind. It's like, okay, so I'm not able to do anything. And I think it's, again, my theory, there are two kinds of people in this world, but I think it's like, actually,
mm-hmm.
there are different kinds of people that it's like, I hate being able to do that because I can't do anything, or I love being able to do that because basically I'm fucking burnt out and I need someone to say, just stop and I can chill.
Wow, love that. It kind of goes back to the second part of what the other person said, which shouldn't talk about, is like control.
Yeah.
Because I hate when I'm ill because I hate not having control. It's also why I don't like kind of drink myself into oblivion and things like that. Like I have to be I can't just, you just cannot catch me in a situation where you think I'm not in control, even if it looks like I'm being crazy and it looks like I'm, oh, she's so like, oh my God, like not even thinking. No, it's been planned. It's been manufactured. I need the control.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think I'm the complete opposite.
Really, though? Because I think we're the same in wanting control.
I think I like the feeling of being out of control in like a managed way.
Mm.
I know you love this too. So I actually don't think we're different in this. But like, for example, the feeling of like a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
It's out of my hands what happens. I have given my fate into the hands of the engineers.
It's out of our hands.
Put that thing back where it came from. Also help me.
Also fucking help me.
But like, I love the feeling of like a managed control. It's like, I put myself in the hands of engineers of Thor Park and I'm on a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's essentially out of control.
Let's hope they're not on minimum wage.
Yeah, exactly. Let's, fingers crossed, they knew what they were doing.
Let's hope they're not burnt out.
Yeah, exactly. But I think I do like that. Like, for example, being like a little bit drunk or like a little bit like intoxicated and just like
a little bit pushed out of your comfort zone. I like that.
Just like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm in a country, I don't know where I am. Fuck, I need to mm-hmm. like work out a fucking map situation. I actually don't love the sound of that.
Oh, I love that.
Something about like the lack of control.
But I think that's out of your comfort zone thing.
But you're not in control there.
No, but you have to control like
what you've got.
Yeah, you have to control like yourself.
It's like, okay, so I've got a map and a phone with 12%. What am I doing?
Because I almost feel like that pushes you into the role of being that person. Do you know what I mean? Just being pushed into new roles, just like being slightly stretched, I think is an important like part of life.
And I think they're the best bits.
Agreed.
Like painful, growing pain vibes, but also just like mm-hmm. the best when you realize you can do it and you've grown.
Yeah.
I had that with driving the other day.
Oh yeah, you did. Go on, tell us.
Because not the other day, before my 10 days that felt like 10 years.
Mm.
When me and my house, I said in the fucking podcast we went to the to the New Forest. We went to the Forest of Dean. I'm so sorry, I'm getting my forest confused. I was editing it thinking, fucking idiot, get your forest right.
Misinformation.
Jesus, got that all wrong. We went to the Forest of Dean and I was the designated driver in my little Honda Jazz. And it was just so freeing to, because I'm good at my trips. I do my trips in my car, I'm all good. But not with two other people in my car that's like, I'm in charge. I'm responsible for
you're the driver. Yeah.
I'm also responsible for navigating this. I'm also responsible for just making decisions like, that car pulled out. It is my duty to keep everybody safe in the car. Like, I'm just like, it's not usually my job. It's like,
not a duty usually bestowed on you.
not one usually an honour one would once receive. But I was just quite like, okay, so I've got to take this quite seriously in a way. Like,
oh my God. Like,
just, it's not usually my job. Usually I'm the kind of kid in the back of the car playing their DS, playing on Nintendo's, going fluffy. Like, I'm not usually the one that's driving to the Forest of Dean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like, that's just never been me before. Mm-hmm. And usually I'm kind of the friend in the, like, I might have control over the orcs. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe at the biggest responsibility I've had,
yeah,
like, to be like, okay, I'm gonna drive. It was just quite like, and I was fine. It's like, okay, I did that. I can drive to the fucking Forest of Dean.
Oh, I love that.
Of course I can drive it.
Well, I think that's control, because that's what I used to love. I love driving. It's like one of my hobbies. And I used to love, like, driving to and from Brighton, or like driving through central London. Like, it's a small challenge. Because I remember, like, the week I passed my test, I was doing like 3-hour drives, because I just thought, the alternative is I get scared, like, I have to do it.
Yeah,
it just is the thing of, you just push yourself into a new role and then you do it, and then it's like, oh, and that's,
and each time you fill the shoes, you try on a new pair of shoes and you fill them, oh my God, turns out they fit, the glass slipper fits perfect, I'm going to the ball.
Yeah, you just do it. Confidence. I also have a top tip for anyone doing their driving tests and stuff, because I wonder if this kind of helped, because I am a confident driver. But the night before I did my test, I typed in, like, driving test hypnosis on YouTube, and I watched this man kind of sit far away, like, in a room, just on his little chair looking at the camera, and you go, I am a confident driver. He's from up north. I am.
It was Jon Snow.
A confident driver.
Confident driver.
The whole time. And then now I always think, you know what? I am a confident fucking driver. And I am a confident driver.
If you ever get in a car with Wing, she does do this weird accent, but it's all good.
I turn into a man. A bald man.
She turns into a man sitting quite far away. But one of the things I love about your driving story, your passing your test story that you said, is that I've always just been so fascinated by, is that you said that you practiced driving in lucid dreams.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, I did.
Which I just think is, to be honest, the most genius fucking idea I've ever heard. So if you can lucid dream, start practicing your driving in that.
Yeah, I would just drive around in my dreams.
I can't lucid dream, so I won't see you there, but...
Top tips. Well, it just almost... It wasn't even, like, technically practicing. It was just enjoying... I think it was more the psychology of, like, feeling like I am a confident driver. Like, driving is... I'm driving all the time. Driving... Also, I'd never... When I was doing my lessons only ever with a driving instructor, and I didn't have my own car, so it was always in their car under their terms. I'd never, the first time I drove on my own was like once I had passed my test. So I think driving in a lucid dream, driving on your own as if it's your car, as if you do this all the time, just kind of a bit of conditioning. This is what I'm all about, tricking the mind, deceptions of the mind, kind of Darren Brown.
Just a little game, guys.
Little trickster.
Once you can just nail the mind, it's all good.
Well, because my mind is a fucking cunt. My mind is trying to ruin my life.
Oh, you've got an Emma on your hands.
Honestly, boy, do I. Do I ever. Do I, Emma.
I think that we're done.
Mm-hmm. I want to say thank you to everyone for sticking with us, right?
I just want to say the biggest thank you to everyone that did a week without an episode. I'm so sorry. I mean, your life was probably the exact same.
It must have been heaven.
It was probably great, but I'm sorry that we couldn't... No, I'm not saying sorry.
No, yeah.
But thank you so much.
Never sorry for the delay. Always thank you for your patience.
Exactly.
Full of top tips over here.
And just acknowledging that we are like human beings behind these microphones. We're not little like caricatures, and just being nice to us, because that's all we want. Please be nice.
All that matters to us in the world is if everyone is nice to us. But genuinely, and thank you for coming in with like good points every week.
Yeah.
Just...
Fucking insane. Yeah, honestly. And just, I hope, I just think what a blessing it is to be you. Look at you. What a blessing that is to be you. What an exciting thing.
It is. That she's talking to you, by the way.
It changes the tone, doesn't it? From if you don't hear from me, assume the worst.
Yeah, let's not say that in this one because I'm a bit scared.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for being here. We really hope that we get to see you next time. We're so excited to speak to you again.
Yeah. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.